You're listening to the Devi Hour Podcast, part of the RotoHeat.com family of podcasts.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's Thursday night, so you know what time it is. We are the Devi Hour. This is your live stream and podcast for all things Devi. It's a big time. You know, we've got football. Football is back. It's getting there. You know, we're seeing NFL guys reporting. We have big news about college football and that there probably will be something this fall. It's a good time. We're excited. So tonight we're going to be talking Devi sleepers. And before we get into all of that, I am joined with the guy that everybody's grandma loves, Paul Veldboom. How are you, brother?
It's a good night. It's a good night. You know, it's going to be a fun weekend. Go see some live cars running around. May get a little tipsy this weekend. May hit a little casino action. You know, it's gonna be a good weekend.
It's gonna come up, Paul, is what I'm hearing.
That's right. I'll probably lose money at the casino and lose money on whoever I put money on the races. But you know, it'll be fun. Yeah.
Sometimes you're just paying to have a good time, and sometimes you don't ever come home with anything.
That's right.
Memories, you know, right? You and your boys go, right? Have a good time. Well, hopefully it's right. A good weekend. And we'll start it off right tonight because we're going to talk sleepers. You know, and in Devi, basically everybody's a sleeper unless you're one of the top guys. So these are just guys that we like that may not be at the top of the radar. But before we get into those, thank you guys as always for hanging out. If you're watching this and you haven't subscribed to the Roto Heat YouTube channel, why haven't you? You need to get on that. We are currently in the process of doing a giveaway once we get to over the 1,000 subscriber mark. Our fearless leader is giving away a copy of the new Madden. Who doesn't like free Madden? I know I do. Obviously, I can't win it because I'm a part of the team. But you can, so make sure you do that.
Can we swap it for free NCAA? Looking at you, EA Sports.
I listened to Detroit Radio, and one of the afternoon hosts is a buddy to a guy that works for EA, and it sounds like it's coming back. It sounds like EA's getting closer and closer. You know, you just got to figure out how you pay these college kids. So,
yeah, well, the NCAA has a pretty major problem.
They've got lots of things to work on.
We don't normally plug anyone else's stuff here, but if you haven't seen SB Nation Paid in Mississippi, go watch that. It's about a 2-hour special that they split into 4 episodes, and it pretty much says how the individual schools, they can't control the money from a booster perspective. Mm-hmm. And how the NCAA is completely clueless on it. I don't know how much longer the NCAA is going to exist, because eventually enough of these are going to head out where the schools just go, you know what, we joined you so that we didn't have to pay the players when we now want to pay the players. So go away. We don't like you anymore.
Yeah, I mean, you know, eventually all things have to change. Change is inevitable. But it'll be interesting to see how all of it kind of transpires. And you know, as long as we keep college ball and we do it the right way, whatever that looks like, I think we'll turn out just fine. Speaking of all of that, we have good news. The SEC reported today that they're going to have a 10-game conference-only slate beginning September 26th. Yesterday or the day before, ACC, and they included Notre Dame, are going to do the same thing, 10 games. It looks like probably you're going to see a lot of this with the big conferences. We haven't seen the Pac-12 come out with theirs yet, but most will probably fall in line where you're going to see, you know, conference only kind of 10 games. And I'd guess at the end of the season, there's probably a playoff for those top 4 teams. That's exciting news because that means at the end of next month, you know, the end of September, you know, about a month and a half, 2 months away, we'll get college ball. And that's huge. How do you feel about that, Paul?
I thought it was interesting how the ACC came out first and said that they were going to have the conference plus one. And plus one means you can schedule one non-conference. Now, so I don't know if it was a mandate or hopeful that they had to be in your state or geographic region, because obviously some of the states are smaller and don't have the options. But I thought it was interesting how the SEC said conference only, and they like emphasized only, which it kind of sucks for the Florida schools. I look forward to not having another loss at the hands of Florida this year as a Seminole fan, but I know that Clemson and South Carolina, that's a big one. Georgia, and surprisingly Georgia Tech, there's a lot of in-state hate there and you don't see it necessarily. And the Louisville Kentucky game is, there's a lot of in-state hate there and they like fighting it out. I know that most of the issue was they were having financing issues with the whole testing, and that's what their major concern was. So I'm surprised that the SEC, they didn't have the plus one rule that the ACC did. But
well, and I think okay, I mean,
we have football.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think 10 games will still be fine. You know, you have to keep the player safe, and you have to be smart about it. And you know, and we could still see something very similar to what you're seeing in baseball, where they kind of push it off, or they did, you know, delay games and things like that. I mean, obviously two different sports, and I listen to all sorts of different podcasts that will talk about how NFL and even college ball is very much already kind of in its own type of bubble, you know, where MLB guys are going out and partying and they have their rituals and doing the things they do to get ready for a game, where the NFL, you know, it's all very scheduled. You know, you get to the stadium, you run, go through a run-through, you go back to the hotel, you have your food, you go to bed. You know, there's not a lot of that kind of mix and match like you do in other sports. But I could see, just because people want to be careful and not spread anymore, you know, they could easily, we're going to hold this off, we're going to push this Thursday game to Saturday, or, you know, or whatever. And I'd be okay with it. As long as we're getting ball in the fall and everybody's staying safe and doing the right things, I'm okay with it. So this news that we've been getting about, you know, the SEC doing 10 games and ACC doing 10 games, and it's good news to me, because they're trying to find a way forward. Hopefully they take some of the information that the NFL has been doing with you know, testing and whatnot to make sure the guys are being safe. And I hope they work together to kind of make sure everything moves forward properly, because, you know, from the scouting side of things, I want football, because I'm already starting to try to get ready for the 2021 draft, you know. So, you know, I need tape. I need to know some of these things and see how some of these guys develop, especially, you know, for tonight's show, we're talking our sleepers, but, you know, these are guys that need to put it on film. When I think about a Devy sleeper, I'm thinking about a guy who either was sitting behind a starter and will need to put something on film for the NFL guys to really get behind him, or a guy that maybe had shown out a little bit last year and is developing, you know. So sleepers are guys that need to put it on the field. They need to put tape out there so the guys in the NFL will want them. So, you know, this is a big year for a lot of all the guys on my list. This is a big year for them. Some of them are not going to get a chance. You know, I've got a guy on the list who's still got a top five asset in front of him that he's just not going to be a starter, but he's a big play upside guy that could still find a way into the NFL, you know, things like that. So for me, that's what I view as a Devy sleeper. Not the same as you'd think of in NFL, where a sleeper is just a guy that could break out. This is a guy that still is developing, and there's still more to the puzzle. So with that being said, who is your first sleeper?
Before we hit that, I'm going to hit on something you said before. Okay. You said that these guys need to get tape 3 years from now, 4 years from now, 5 years from now. We're going to have a lot of guys from the smaller schools. I know for a fact that the colleges are having issues with getting film measurements and any other data they can on high schoolers when they, in theory, have connections. If they're having issues with scouting, I can see what, quote-unquote, should be the top ESPN 300, the 247 100, whatever list you're looking at, right, how it should look if we have football is going to look completely different than if we just don't for high schools in a lot of these states. And if we don't have football, there's going to be a lot more LaVisca Chenaults who kind of develop later in high school. And they, I mean, I know he was offered by Bama, but I'm just using him for this example here.
Sure.
For, you're going to see a lot of, how come this first rounder is out of a school that we've hardly ever heard of? You're going to see more of that in the next 2 years or 3-4 seasons. Once these guys hit the NFL, once we can get some film back on them. But that's assuming we get full film on all these guys even heading forward. I hope we have football in 2 years, but again, that's a really long tangent there. All right. The first guy I had picked was Graham Mertz, QB out of the school I hate the most, Wisconsin. I thought he was right behind Nix last year and behind Howell, but he redshirted. He didn't see the field. He sat behind Cohn, and I know Wisconsin fans were sitting there like, all right, well, we know that Cohn is horrible. Let's go ahead and throw him out there. And my answer was, you're not going to make the Rose Bowl or whatever the one, the Big Ten was in last year anyways, if you put him out there and he shows out. So he sat the year. I'm already hearing he's basically assured of the number one spot. I thought he was a solid athlete. I thought the arm was there. I thought the brain was there, at least for what you can tell off of high school highlights, because that's all you get. Mm-hmm. But I guess, what were your thoughts about him? I know it's more of a what was your eval 12 months ago, but what were your thoughts?
For me, I saw a lot of a pocket passer. Like, I kind of, when I watched him play, I was like, okay, this guy, if he goes to an offense where he can just kind of set up in the pocket, go through his reads, not have to rely on trying to make plays on the run and kind of boot outside and do some of those things, I think he could be successful. Wisconsin is not a team that really, it's hard, I mean, outside of what, Russell Wilson was probably the last really solid quarterback they've produced. You know, I can't think of too many guys that they've really done a good job in the last few years developing, thinking of this coaching staff, because I think this staff's been here for a few years now. So, you know, the talent would appear to be there because you like those pocket passer pro-style type quarterbacks, because there's a lot of that still in the NFL even today. So I think he could definitely be a person that's I would see him as a sleeper, but I think, isn't Wisconsin going to – was he redshirted last year? Are they going to redshirt him again this
– He was a true freshman last year.
A freshman.
And I believe he saw the field, but he didn't head over, like, the four-game minimum threshold. Mm-hmm. So he shirted.
So, you know, so he – as long as he has the opportunity to compete for the job and, you know, and they don't do anything crazy – he's probably the best quarterback on their roster, which I don't know what that, you know, for him, I don't know what that means, because I, you know, they don't develop their quarterbacks very well. So that's my concern. You know, I could see him easily transferring if things don't go the way he wants, and he would, you know, and he could go somewhere else and do some of that. Cause that, the interesting thing to me is how much the transfer portal used to be something that people just kind of wrote off, but now it's like, quick, guys dump and run if they don't like what's going on. And I like that. I mean, for these kids that are trying to set themselves up for a job in 4 years or 3 years or 2 years, why not utilize it? If you see the writing on the wall that it's not going to be good for you, then go, you know. And I think this kid could be that. What is he, like 6'3", 6'4"? I mean, he's got good size. Obviously, you know, he'll continue to put on weight onto that frame, and if he can be around 230, 240, I'm sure that'll be good for him as well, you know. So, you know, there's potential there. I mean, if I remember correctly, I kind of looked at my notes on him when you gave me your list. I wrote his arm was above average, which is, you know, not amazing, but it's better than probably, you know, 75 to 80% of the guys in the college. So, you know, if it
for some
go ahead
for someone that went round, I don't remember, 17, 18, 19 of your pinnacle league, and this is a super flex. He's basically free in like every league then. He's someone I want my hands on, especially if you're going to have a new to draft and you go, okay, I want one of these top 3-4 selections, and maybe you pay up for it, and then you go, all right, I'll take your 5th, your 6th, your 7th. Mertz might be someone that you just want to be like, all right, come on, Casino, I need this. It's not that I feel overly, okay, this guy's awesome, but he's literally free.
Right.
In most leagues.
Well, you know, and depending on the roster sizes, if you can have them, you know, if you've got 10 to 15 roster spots, he's certainly rosterable. I mean, I wouldn't have, if somebody drafted him in, you know, in our XFL league, I wouldn't be upset at him. You know, I mean, one of the guys that's my sleeper I took in ours, I think in the third round this year. You know, so I mean, quarterbacks, unless they're really the elite guys, some guys come out of nowhere, you know, and they have one big year. And then, I mean, like, look at Trey Lance, who is the cover of our YouTube stream tonight, who is not listed on my sleepers or yours because now he's not a sleeper. You know, 3 months ago when we started planning the schedule out, he was still kind of a sleeper. I mean, he had a big 2019 and people were starting to talk about him, but he wasn't nearly as hyped up. Well, now the hype train's left the station. So, you know, some of these guys could still be that. You know?
It's amazing how fast guys go from sleeper to known. And Devi, I remember thinking that Gainwell was a sleeper. And then, like, you wake he's up everywhere. The morning after and he's top 40 on everyone's overall board. It's like, well, all right, well, there's another one. Throw it out the list.
Right. Absolutely. So, with that being said, I'll go to my first. And my first is a guy I've been drafting, it seems like, in every Devi league. So, to me, he's not a sleeper because I think with CeeDee Lamb gone, he's got the opportunity to step in and really shine based on his skill set. And that's Charleston Rambo, wide receiver from Oklahoma. Kid's like 6'2". You know, he's got the ability. So if you watch his high school tape, you saw a kid that was breaking away from players. And even some of the college footage, if you look at some of the highlights, and not just the highlights, but, his, you know, if you watch him just on a snap basis, he can get away from the corner and get some good separation. But he still needs to develop his route tree. His hands are good, not great. Sometimes he'll try to catch with his body and not just his hands. So there's some things I want to see him develop. But, you know, kids on the Biletnikoff watch list, you know, people are starting to see him and get excited about him. Now, obviously, I don't know if he's the most talented receiver on that roster, quite honestly. But I think this year he's going to have an opportunity. And with him being able to go pro after this, if he wants to, if he has a big 2020, he could be, you know, in consideration for a day two pick in the NFL draft based on his athletic profile and his size. So for me, that's a sleeper. Like, I'm willing to take a risk on a guy that could get drafted, especially at the wide receiver position with as much as the NFL throws the ball. This kid could come into a team and be successful potentially, you know? So I'm excited about him. I think he's got some sneaky upside. You know, he's not my favorite wide receiver in college, but one of my top sleepers. What do you think about Rambo?
All right, let's hit the good on him first. I like the frame. He's got long arms and he's about 6'2". Yeah, he's only 185 or so, but he's a sophomore. Hopefully he can eat something, hit the weight room, yada yada yada. He can catch with his hands, but he's not consistent. Also, we're going to see a theme that the positive we're hitting on negatives already here. I think he can cut, but he needs refinement on it. All right, so now that the quote-unquote positives are out of the way, I don't think he's nearly as fast as you do. I think he's 4.5 to 4.6. And when you're going to be not 2-10, I need a little bit more. I don't think he's overly quick on the first cut. There were some throws that he body caught it a little bit that I saw. I don't see anything more than someone looking at him in round six and going, all right, we need you for gunner. We need you for developmental upside. I mean, yes, it's a sleeper, but I think he's he might be snoring. I mean, just I didn't see.
No, that's okay.
When I watched him.
I'm not expecting you to come on here and agree with me. That would make this show super boring. But we both agree that we did see body catches, and that's a concern to me. I don't want a receiver body catching very often because that means there's opportunity for you to drop the ball, get it taken away, you know. So that's a concern to me for sure. I will say that I think because of who was ahead of him on the depth chart, that hopefully with him being kind of elevated into that number one role, that he'll get a little bit more coaching and a little bit more work. They've got a great quarterback still in that roster. It seems like they've always got good quarterbacks, so I'm hopeful. And for me, that's a sleeper. I'm hopeful that he can develop into something. You know, obviously, we need to see him put on weight. We need to see him, you know, we need to see more on the tape. But I like him. I'm a fan. I think he's a sneaky sleeper pick. And a guy that, you know, especially in your Devy drafts, you can get him late and just stash him and see what happens. Because people are going to go after the big names, and those guys will go quick. So, who's your next one?
I'm going to go with Jatarvis Whitlow, running back for, and I honestly haven't even seen where this guy's going to transfer yet, but he played last year at Auburn. I thought he might be at second to fourth or fifth round selection, and he went in round like 25 of your Pinnacle League, and in a bunch of the other leagues I've been in, he's been basically free. I just thought for his size, he had really solid speed and really good foot quickness. I don't see why there's so much hate against him. And for somebody who showed it in the SEC, I'm willing to... I have him higher than being free. Let's see, Jatarvis Whitlow. I guess I should have looked this up before we started. Did he transfer? I guess he entered the portal, but hasn't.
Yeah, I think some.
He hasn't went anywhere yet, which is really unusual. But I mean, obviously, you know, I can't say the big C word, but because of that C word, I don't know if he can't visit campuses or whatever.
The concern, and you know, and even the chat saying it, nobody picked him up yet. Like everywhere I've looked, and I looked pre-show to see if there are any sniffs, and there's nothing. So that's interesting to me, and I don't, you know, I wish I knew a better reason why nobody picked him up. Is it because he couldn't come visit or any of these other things? But other guys that are in the transfer portal are getting picked up. So, you know, my guess is there's probably something more to it that will come out in time, and hopefully he gets another chance somewhere, and you know, it'll probably wind up being a smaller school where he just has to dominate to really prove his value, and that's okay. There's other ways to get to the league. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to go through a big school. You can get there small school, but If there's character issues, he needs to get that worked on. If there's, you know, physical issues, you gotta get that worked on. I remember he was he wasn't a four star. I think he was like a 3-star prospect out of, where was he? Was he in Alabama? He's down south. You know, he was like a 3-star prospect when he came out, but he's got his athletic ability. Never seemed to be, when I watched any of the footage of him, it never seemed to be my concern. Our boy Shane over in the chat, you know, is saying that the rumors are his fallout with the Auburn staff shows some character issues. Not that he likes the Auburn staff and their attitude either. So, yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, Auburn doesn't always handle things right either way. So, yeah, I mean, you know, so he's – I remember him having a pretty solid athletic profile. When I looked at my notes, you know, I didn't – my concerns had nothing to do with that, so.
Okay, and who was – your second.
So my second is a guy that is not going to be a starting running back on his team this year. Lynn J. Dixon from Clemson. The thing I like about him is every time he gets a chance, he has the ability to make big plays. I don't think, you know, he's got Travis Etienne ahead of him. There's no way you're beating him out. Travis Etienne is a very solid running back. Some people love him. Some people aren't as hot on him. But he's better than Lynn J. Dixon. Lynn J. Dixon kind of is one of those big play threats. Get him out in space. Let him try to make some things happen. But I think there's a role for that in the NFL, and I think that's a draftable role. He's not, you know, he's a day three pick, probably 5-6, somewhere in there. But, you know, he can easily carve out a role for himself in the NFL. I like his hands. I didn't think they were amazing, but I think they were very sufficient. Obviously, the knock on him for me is that, well, he couldn't beat out Etienne, and I really wanted to see that because coming out of high school, you know, there was a lot of hype around him, and then, you know, he just couldn't beat out Etienne, which, you know, I don't blame him. Etienne is a NFL – he'll be probably a second to third round running back in the NFL draft this year. So, you know, how do you feel about Dixon?
The notes I have were B minus acceleration. If you're going to be 190, which he is, and let's say he's going to be 200 when he's draft eligible, I want to see more quickness, not only in terms of the acceleration, but speed. And I didn't see it out of him. I thought that his vision was really solid, but there were also some pretty open holes because, well, Clemson versus not good school, you know, that tends to happen.
Yep.
I thought that he played really tall, and he tries to dance around things versus getting low and using his feet. I'm really concerned that it's not going to translate. I know you don't want to be fat in the hole, but he gets himself really tall and really skinny when he's not in the hole. And it's you're not going to shake many tacklers like that. I just think he's a limited athlete, and he reminded me of a former FSU guy, Travis Minor. Just someone who was all right. I think he went in the third round of the NFL draft, but he should have went round 4, 5, 6, and I don't know if I see anything other than round 5 through UDFA for him. He should make it, but I'm not a fan.
Yeah, I got a very much a TJ Yeldon vibe, you know, kind of his running style, but a less explosive, if that really can be. So I think he's a sleeper. I think he's got potential, sleeper potential. But, you know, the guys that I picked are guys that I would stash at the back end of my Debbie roster. These aren't, you know, priority guys for me. So these are guys I think with a good solid year worth of tape, have the athletic profile, have the ability potentially to get to the league and make some sort of fantasy impact. But we'll see. What is your next guy?
The next one here is going to put Shane to sleep for the next couple minutes because we discussed him after the stream last week. Jamon Osbon, wide receiver out of A&M. He had the profile. He went to IMG High School, and they basically only have 4- and 5-star players on their roster. I mean, if they have a 3-star, it's like you're frowned upon, and this is high school. It's insane. And yes, they are a private high school and yada yada yada, but it's still insane. He showed out as a freshman. He showed that what he had wasn't a fluke. Then he got hurt as a sophomore, and everyone you don't think that they would forget about you because of injuries, but he went from being like a second round non-super flex guy to 4, 5, 8 round, and I don't think that the injury he had should have hurt him. He shows up this last year, and while the numbers he had weren't, oh gosh, this guy is awesome and first round, he showed what he should have, which is round 2, 3, 4, and everyone just, I don't know why Devy guys don't find him sexier. He seems like the Gabriel Davis of this last year. All right, we're drafting him in the fourth or fifth round, and he'll never see the field for me in fantasy. I guess I see more Bryan Edwards out of him. I know that Edwards is more of a pure athlete, but someone that you draft in the high mid second that you go, okay, I'm a fan of you, I feel safe in having you out there, at least from a rookie perspective.
So going to A&M, I'm willing to look at that, because A&M's produced some solid receivers as of late into the league, you know, so obviously they're doing something right there. Osman, you know, you go to IMG, you're at A&M, I'm definitely going to have you on the radar. I'll definitely take a look at you and do some deep diving. You know, kind of like Bryan Edwards, because that's who you use as a comp, nothing ever wowed me. And that, you know, when I'm looking at a receiver, there wasn't a specific trait where I'm like, he's really good physically getting off the line, or he's really good going up and getting the ball. You know, so it wasn't that there was anything wrong. It's just that there wasn't anything like outstanding, you know. So I don't hate on that. I don't have a problem with it. It's just not a guy that I'm going to go, okay, this is a high end elite prospect. I mean, this fits perfectly into the sleeper category, because you know what? If he puts together a good season this year and things go well for that A&M offense, and he puts up, you know, 1,300 yards and 6 touchdowns, and you know, and he's catching 60-65% of the balls thrown his way, he's probably a day 2, day 3 pick. And you get the Bryan Edwards love there, because people start getting excited about him. I think he has the ability to do that. I just don't know if we're going to see that, because there are some solid receivers on that roster. So we got to see how he does getting healthy, you know, and just getting back into shape and getting everything going. And, you know, so originally nothing wowed me was my notes in big letters. Nothing overly exciting. Not bad either, though, you know, which
I can see that
a guy can make a career out of being okay.
He's not the sexiest athlete on the field.
No. He's got good size, though.
Yeah, he's got solid size and a solid enough game and footwork. And like anyone that's over 6'3", you're slightly concerned about the 40. Mm-hmm. We're slightly concerned about the 40 here.
He'll have to work on that for sure.
All right, and who was the third guy that you had? I know we had a couple on the list written down here.
Yep. So for me, it's going to be Nico Collins, wide receiver, Michigan. For some reason, I'm really big into those big slot receiver type roles, especially because the NFL is moving in that direction. You know, when our boy, when Rick and my boy Dave Devin Funchess decided to opt out, I got a little sad on the inside. You know, when DPJ went to Cleveland, I got a little sad on the inside, because these are guys that look the part of a big slot receiver, and Nico Collins is no different. You know, to me, he's a power forward. Not the most amazing speed, but at Michigan, he's going to be their number one, because he's their senior. You know, Tariq Black went to Texas. DPJ's in the league. He's the kind of the elder statesman of the group, so he's going to get action. The unfortunate thing is that Michigan's offense continues to be a dumpster fire. So I pray to all things that are holy that Dylan McCaffrey or one of these quarterbacks can step up and start being a quarterback, because we haven't had one of those in a while, whether it's Joe Milton or McCaffrey or, you know, any of the three guys that are there. For me, you know, the thing that that concerns me about him is just that I see him as a big power forward. He does a good job catching the ball. You know, I think he figures probably more like an X-type receiver, which we'll see. I mean, I don't know how well that'll go for him. He doesn't have any big play ability, so he's going to be either a red zone threat or a guy that's kind of your, you know, your chain mover. So that's not sexy, but there's still a role for it. I mean, the dude's like 6'4", 6'5", and he's not a tight end. So he is actually just a receiver. So what's your thoughts on Collins?
I don't think he's a sleeper. How dare you. I think the guy's probably a second or third round selection next year. Huh. I think he's probably faster than what you're giving him credit for. I don't think he's a slot. I think he plays X in the league. I think someone's going to sit there and go, there's enough corners in the league that are squatting and have speed that we're going to go, you know what? I'm going to throw him out there and I'm going to watch the 5'11 corner defend this and get scared when he can't. He has enough body control when they throw it up that, like I said, I think the guy's a second or third round selection. I don't think that that's a sleeper. I agree 100% with what you're saying about him. I thought he was the best receiver Michigan had this last year, and that included a guy that's in the league now.
Yeah, but man, I like DPJ so much better. I thought he had overall just kind of a better skill set, and it just never got utilized. Obviously, we know that, you know, they had trash at quarterback, so what can you do? But
well, he's a better pure athlete,
right?
But as far as a football player, he's not a better football player.
See, the concern I have for, you know, when you said the X receiver role for Collins is that it takes the dude a little bit of time to get up to speed. And as an X, I would think you need to do a little bit more. Like, he needs to be able to get to the top end without having, you know, the corner give him an extra buffer so that he can get up to speed. Like, that's the concern I have, where I'm like, you know what, just let him be that big slot and you know, and really tear it up there, because your nickel corners are, you know, 5'9", 5'10", 5'11". But, you know, so I mean, heck, if he goes in the second, third round, great. He's not a sleeper anymore. But
we did say second or third round and not first. I mean,
yeah, for sure.
Yes. Yes. I mean, it's a concern, but yeah, second, third, maybe fourth if he runs a little slow, but I don't think he's a sleeper.
And our boy Shane agrees with you. He was the best receiver at Michigan last year, he said. But none of Michigan's receivers feel like top 100 players. And that's a tough thing. I mean, that's why I think he's a sleeper, because I didn't see him. I didn't see him as a top in the top 100. I figured he'd probably be like a fourth round pick kind of guy, just because inevitably Michigan will not do a very good job moving the ball this year because Jim Harbaugh hates the offense for some reason.
Hey, at least you get your receivers in the NFL, unlike some of us.
Very, very true. Very true. All right, so who you got next?
Okay, I'm going to go with somebody, Don Chaney.
He's definitely somebody.
Running back in Miami. He just has so much functional speed, and we've said it before, but it's hard to sit here and go, we're watching high school film, how does this look to college, much less the NFL?
Mm-hmm.
But he played in the Miami area, and there's a lot of fast little squirts down there in Miami, and he's clearly faster than everyone else on the field. I think I had him as my second or third ranked freshman this year behind Robinson, and it wasn't the TCU kid Evans. But there was someone else who I had over him. But I don't know how Geiser and Shane's gonna say nope, you're incorrect. I don't know how there are guys who have Marshawn Lloyd ahead of this guy. I would just rather have the guy who I think he's got a more solidified floor just because he can catch also, and with that speed I'm willing to maybe take the floor over the ceiling of some of these other ones. But I've said it before on prior episodes, I'm not overly concerned about what happens when you get in the NFL. We're trying to get you to the Tuesday night show, not necessarily what you do when you're on the Tuesday night show.
Yeah,
so,
you know,
I'll take the floor.
Well, and when I was prepping for the show, he reminds me a lot of Marlon Mack, you know, and I've seen a few places say that as well. So it was I felt kind of comfortable when I saw a couple other outlets say that very similar style. The thing I think that Chaney has over a guy like Mack is he's got better long speed. Like the dude, anytime I've watched anything on him, I'm like, this kid can get away from people. I think that, you know, I think the reason people have Lloyd ahead of him is just, you know, experience. I think they want to have, I think by the time we get to the end of the season, I could easily see Chaney being kind of the leader in the backfield, you know, if they really give him a shot. So, but I like Lloyd a lot. I think, and I agree, you know, I think Lloyd could be very good, and I think Chaney could be very good. You know, and the nice thing is that as long as Chaney continues to develop, he'll make it to the league. Yeah. Shane over on YouTube, he loves some Marshawn Lloyd. He likes Chaney as well. Jalen Knighton signing two is concerning. Interested to see how they split the or who emerges. So, you know, they have a good problem there in Miami. They've got a lot of solid running backs. The interesting thing to see is how they handle it because, you know, they give me the vibe. Miami gives me the vibe that they could be like the Baltimore of the South if we're comparing them to a team. You know, Derek King running the ball a bunch, focusing on the running game. Receivers are kind of big play guys, you know, with big speed. So, you know, they could be trying to do that type of real fast pace up tempo offense. So, you know, I like Chaney. I think Chaney's good. I don't, he isn't a sleeper to me just because I think I have him in a couple places. I like him, but, you know, I've been prepping for a 100-round draft. So at this point, nobody's a sleeper in my mind.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But this is someone that most have as their RB5 to 8 as a true freshman. Mm-hmm. Like I said,
he could hop. He could hop a few of the guys ahead of him for sure.
Yes. I'm hitting on more of the these guys are free or this side of it,
mm-hmm.
and you're hitting on more of the guys second, third, fourth, fifth rounders that maybe guys haven't heard of.
Sure. Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I'm definitely heading on the this guy's going to be free train.
Yep.
Right now.
Oh, absolutely. So my last guy, because I had planned for fourth, hoping that our conversation would, you know, between my four and your six, that we would get through an hour, and I think we will more than cover that. My last guy is probably more of a hopeful just because I like the total package of him, and that's Kyle Trask, quarterback at Florida. Dude's like 6'5", you know, he's got an NFL-style body, but just a big kid. You know, the funny thing about him is, like, he's always seemed to have better players ahead of him, so he's never really gotten a chance to shine. But, you know, when we saw him last year, like, look at the Kentucky game. You know, he's just got that factor of, like, the will to win, the willingness to try to win. You know, he's got a good arm. He's got, like, everything about him tells me, man, this kid's got an NFL profile, but he's never had enough time or never had the ability to beat out the guys ahead of him, which could also be a detriment. Like, that could just be, hey, you aren't good enough. You couldn't beat these guys out. You're not going to make it. Or it could be, well, you had some really good guys ahead of you. You've got a lot of talent. Maybe you'll get, you know, maybe this year will be that year. He's at Florida. Got to have a chance there. Because of what's going on, what they've got there. So I like him. I think he's got enough ability that somebody will give him a chance. But even when he gets to the league, he's probably going to be a guy that's a taxi squad player that takes time to develop, if at all. I mean, may not even make it to the league. You know, maybe he's in the XFL or Canadian Football League. I don't know, you know. But he's got that style. I know. Well, you know, the XFL's coming back. Somebody's buying it. I think there's like 10 or 20 offers on it. So somebody's going to resurrect that thing. this version of it actually was fairly interesting and willing to watch. So, but that's another show.
It's my best offer. I got $100. I'll buy the XFL. $100. My best
you
offer.
You might slightly be under what the offers are currently, but
who knows? I might win it. We'll see. You know?
Yeah. So
I'll start
thoughts
with
on them.
Okay, I will start with the plus. Yes, he does have NFL size. You could look at that on the profile, and it shows. I don't. He should have NFL size. His hip fluidity, it is excellent. He can flip his hips almost like a corner. He looks okay. This guy's open. This guy's not open. Not open. This guy is okay, and you can see the hips. They're really functional. As far as a athlete, when he has to use his legs, he will get himself hit because he will use his legs. He's not afraid of it. He's not an A athlete at the position. He's probably a C athlete. But, okay. The negatives. His footwork is absolutely terrible. He throws off his back foot a lot. Mm-hmm. And he costs himself with the arm strength. I saw even some of the throws that he had where he didn't have someone in his face. I think he's got a C-minus arm. I think it's accurate, but he's got a C-minus arm. I don't think that he's going to really improve that. And some of these other things are going to be... He sat behind... who is the really good guy who busted out in front of him? The guy who broke his leg or whatever last year. Felipe Franks.
Yeah, Franks.
He sat behind Felipe Franks, and I think there's a reason for it. He doesn't have any pocket smarts. Like, if there's an end coming from the left, instead of moving behind him or around him, he'll move right into it. I saw that a couple times on the Virginia film, and just I don't know what he was thinking. I wrote down needs in all capitals, reps. There are other things he needs to actually see the field for. I also didn't like the fact that he only really looks in the box for like 90% of the throws. He doesn't look outside. At the outside receivers, unless it's just ridiculously wide open, and I think that's another thing that who knows, maybe a full off season he gets confidence on, but I just didn't like that he didn't look for the X receiver very often. If it wasn't a slant, which would be back in his comfort zone, I just wasn't much of a fan of him.
Shane over on YouTube says, like Chris Stoops said, sounds like people describing Joe Burrow after his junior year.
I wish I would have had more conviction and thought that my fourth round assessment of him, because I was higher than most on him, but
not high enough to get him.
Not high enough to, you know, use a fifth round selection on him, obviously. Whoops.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And I think that's been a detriment to Trask, because even in high school, you know, he didn't get the playing time because of who was ahead of him. So I think he needs really good coaching. I think he needs somebody to really work with him on a lot of those things, pocket presence, you know, kind of that. I think he has some of the tools already developed when it comes to being able to read and react and what's going on out here. But it's feeling the pressure, sensing things from the blind side, sensing, you know, and some of that where I'm like, he needs some work. I hope Florida can help him with that. I don't know if they can. I don't know that I trust that coaching staff all that well, but that could just be me. Maybe they're better than I think they are. But I'm hopeful. I like Trask. I think he's got potential.
If he can fix the footwork and the fact that he can't sense pocket rush at all, He needs to have the heartbeat sensor for all you Warzone fans. He needs the heartbeat sensor. Oh, there's a guy heading left. Better move away. If he can fix his footwork, I think his arm talent should improve. I can see the upside. I'm just not willing to put my money on it.
Can't knock you for that. Who's your next guy?
I'm going to go with DeMonte Coxey. Coxey, whatever it is. Wide receiver out of Memphis. I think he's 6'3" or 6'4". And the concern on him is the same as all the other 6'4" receivers. It's the 40 time. He's a little slow, but so is West Memphis. He took a little time to, you know, find himself, find the truth, also like West Memphis. But when the ball's in the air, he's really functional. He's just someone that I trust who coached him, and it really shows. I know he wasn't highly recruited. He was, I think, a 3, maybe a 2-star athlete, but for someone that is not talked about much, I'm really a fan of his. I know he got selected in our XFL league, but there are other leagues that
he's not taking.
Yeah, you're drafting him in 7th, 8th, 9th round. I think you could get someone very easily that ends up being in the 2nd round of the NFL draft, and that's going to be a pretty solid hit for you. What happens once he hits the show? Again, that's Tuesday night, but
yeah,
I like him.
For me, you know, the thing I liked about him when I pulled up my notes was his physicality. Really strong kid, willing blocker, things like that. Which, you know, if you're strong, willing, and you're on the outside, willing to do some of those things, you're going to get an opportunity. What that looks like depends on him. You mentioned it, the slowness. The other thing for me was that oftentimes they tried to create space for him in that offense. So I have a concern being able, you know, the concern I have for both of your last two guys are kind of the same. Can he beat press man coverage? You know, being physical is great, but if you just can't get away from the corners and they're draped on you the entire route, that's going to be real hard for you to be anything better than a, you know, 50-50 catcher. And, you know, and that's, at 6'3", maybe he's got a big enough wingspan that, you know, maybe that helps cover some of that when he gets to the league. But I need to see more out of him this year when it comes to getting off some of that press man coverage. Same with your last receiver as well. But I think, you know, this guy is a perfect opportunity to be a sleeper. If he goes in the 2nd round, he's not really a sleeper. But in Devy right now, I think he's a sleeper because you don't see a lot of people talking about him. For the type of skill set he has, I think 2 might be a little rich, you know, a 2nd rounder, but that's pulling hairs at this point. I mean, neither one of us are NFL GMs, so 2nd round grade for you is fine. I mean, you know, that's like people guessing ages. Sometimes we guess them right, sometimes we guess them wrong. So, but you know, good kid. I think he's got a good work ethic from what I wrote down. He's one of those that I haven't looked at in a few months, so I had to trust. The trust my Google Doc when I was prepping for Shane's league. So I trust my Google Doc at least enough that I haven't gone back to him yet, but I will. He'll be somebody I touch on probably in the next month or two once we get all the redraft fantasy content together and everything finished up here for YouTube. I'll jump back on some of these receivers because those are the first group I'll hit. So I like him. You know, good enough kid. I love physical receivers. So, you know, he'll get at least a 2nd look from me. And who is your last guy as we wrap up?
My last one is, I'm going to throw you for a head fake on this because, I mean, here's a guy that's he's asleep. This guy is very, very asleep in your leagues. Yes. And you think I'm going to make a reference one way and, nope, not going there. William.
You already did.
Nope. William Jackson, he might be 6'7", legitimately. Wide receiver out of Colorado State.
Warren Jackson.
Oh, Warren Jackson. Yeah, I'm Warren. Sorry.
No, you're Warren fine. Jackson. I remember that in the chat earlier. I was like, oh, yeah, I got to remind him. It's Warren, not William.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, the dude's a monster.
Anyways. Yeah, there's not going to be many 6'7" receivers that you're like, oh, yeah, not that guy. Here's a guy who there's about a 90% shot that he never gets out of the floor. On him, he's a very floor ceiling player. And when you're from Colorado, getting out of the floor might be hard. That's a JonBenet Ramsey reference right there for all you. That's the second one of the show. But when you're 6'7" and you can run maybe 4.55, maybe 4.6, there's not going to be many corners in the league that can hang with you. He has immense upside, but like I said, there's a very realistic shot that this guy is just round 6-7 UDFA. But if things hit for him, you could see him as a top 10 selection if the right GM hits him. If he hits the ceiling, again, this is an if he hits it, top 10 selection. He should miss, and we'll see, but you don't coach functional 6-7 and two, I don't remember what he was, 220 or something, but he was pretty thick as well. What were your thoughts on him?
He's another one of those that can't get off the man coverage. His route tree is super underdeveloped. For me, he's kind of a red zone threat. He's gonna beat everybody, but at 6'7", yeah, you're a red zone threat. I mean, chuck it up there, and you've already got 5-6 inches on the guys, on your corner. So, I think there's definitely a position in the NFL for a guy like him. I want to see more. He was highly productive in his what was his junior season, if I remember correctly. So there's potential, but I would love to see a little bit more on the route tree. That would be the biggest thing for me. That's kind of my biggest worry. You know, not beating press man and being 6'7", you're probably going to be able to do better getting those jump balls than Coxie, who we just talked about, who's, 4 inches shorter than you, potentially 5, depending on how tall Coxie really is, if he's 6'2 or 6'3. That's a sleeper pick because he could, like you said, he could be a UDFA. He could be a much earlier drafted player. So this year will be big for him. He needs to get on the field. He needs to put tape together. We need to see more from him in some of those areas. But, I like it. I think it's sneaky, which we like as sleepers. We like guys that could, all of a sudden blow up. And this time, come February, people are talking about him as the next big thing. So you like those kind of guys. And, and Colorado State's produced some receivers. It's not like they don't know how to get them to the league. So this staff, I think, could help them. I don't hate it.
Yeah.
I like it,
And we've said before that you look at the dynasty rankings. Go ahead and look at last year's to right now.
Mm-hmm.
They look mostly similar. Go ahead and look at the Devy ranks and even take out the guys who are now in the league. It's insane watching the stock market on these guys just shoot through the floor and shoot up.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid to take guys that you go, all right, I see one trait and another one that might hit. You don't need all three or four. We're going to see what's going to happen. The clear number one selection this year, Burrow, was somebody that the guys who were high on him thought he was a fourth rounder. Take who you like, because at least at the end of it, you can go, all right, I screwed up or I hit.
Yep.
You're not going to look and go, all right, I blame this YouTube personality because I like him. I'm not saying you go out and select Osman because I said so. I'm just saying go watch the film and decide yourself.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
What?
and ultimately these are guys that we like, and we both don't like all the same guys. I mean, you know, half my list you didn't really care for, and that's okay. That's why I drafted them, you know, because I like them. You know, and that's the great thing about Devi is there's, you know, not only is there such a huge player pool to choose from, so there's a lot of different flavors, you know, a lot of different things that you can go for. And, you know, that's the fun thing about Devi is you got to do your homework, and you're going to be wrong more than you're right. And we never admit to being right 100% of the time. What we are is prepared. We're willing to help. We won't, you know, chastise you for making dumb moves because we all do it. I mean, it's fantasy sports. I mean, it's the game we're in, brother. So, I think it was good. I think these are all good sleeper picks. I think they all have potential to be guys that could be names that people talk about come next fall or next spring.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I mean, there isn't someone on here that I went, ugh, no, it's more of a, eh, not my flavor.
Right. Absolutely. And that's okay. That's how it works. So, thank you guys again for hanging out with us. It is always a pleasure to talk Devi. If you have questions, go to rotoheat.com. You can see our Devi rankings. We update them on the regular, and guys are moving around every time we update them, guys jump around. So jump over there and check them out. If you want to see more of what Paul and I think, tune in every Thursday night, 9:30. If you have not checked it out because you haven't been on YouTube, hopefully you're on the podcast world. We are a podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts. So jump over there. The Devi Hour, easy to find. We make it simple for you. If you have questions, make sure you do that. Paul is our Facebook admin, the ultimate allower of all things Facebook. So if you want to talk Devi, go find him there. Obviously, my Twitter handle is below. At RotoHeat Fantasy is the main Twitter handle. Don't forget all of our other streams and podcasts, you know. So it's not just Paul and I. We've got, like you said, the Tuesday night, we talk Dynasty. Wednesday night's Redraft. We are Thursday. Monday night, Paul, Craig, and I talk IDP. Friday, we got DFS. And during the season, we have a Sunday morning show that helps you start your, you know, get your last minute lineups in. So don't forget to check out all the podcasts. Our boy Sully and Sully's 2 Cents. Great podcast. One of the most entertaining and fun listens that you'll have all week because Sully does a great job. He's a one-man band. Thank you to guys that hung out with us on Facebook. Everybody go show some love for our boy Shane P. Hallam over on the Twitter sphere or at Pinnacle of Devi as well to keep up with all of our 100-round Devi selections. We love to talk Devi. So find us wherever. For Paul and the rest of the team, you guys have a good night.
Thanks for listening to the Devi Hour Podcast. Don't forget to check us out on rotoheat.com or on YouTube at rotoheat.